This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show The Playmakers, aired on WNM FM 90.5 on Saturday from 12:30 to 2. And I am West from the 904 Duval in the building, baby. And we are back for this spring semester. And I'm here with some great, great fellas. And we are talking ball today, the playoffs, and everything in between. How y'all doing, fellas?
Doing great, man.
Pretty
doing great.
Good. Doing
pretty good.
Great. It's great to be back. Felt like I'm Bron coming back to Cleveland. Like, I'm back, you feel me? But, you know, Michael Trim Jr., a.k.a. Slim Trim, a.k.a. Mr. J-Score, a.k.a. the prodigal son. We here, man, with some great takes.
Man, you got so many a.k.a.s, you would think it's 1932. But it's your boy J. Scott telling you what's hot, what's not on WANM FM 90.5, the flavor station from the 813 Tampa, Florida.
What's up, y'all? It's Flo Woods Fine. It's Kaji Latica, repping the Crooked Letter Place, 601 Magnolia State.
What's up? It's your boy, JB the King, man. We back here in the studio. I feel like I ain't been here in forever.
Bro. Oh, my gosh. Long time to see you. Right? The seats are just as uncomfortable as I remember.
Last year? Man.
You were waiting all year for that.
that was
just sitting in your back pocket.
It was.
So we have not talked about the Quinn Gray hiring, even though he's been our head coach for a little while now.
Yeah. A week?
Yeah. By the time that we had left, it was kind of in speculation as to what direction FAMU would move. I can't remember if they had relieved Colsey of his duties or not.
Well, we knew he was gone.
Yeah. I mean, we probably knew he was going, but obviously over the break, they announced the hire of Coach Quinn Gray Sr. If you're unfamiliar with his game, we saw him earlier this season coaching on the opposite sideline for Albany State. He was, I believe, 24-11 overall for 3 years for Albany State, including a Division II National Championship Conference bracket appearance, first in their program's history. I would say the alumni and the boosters are extremely excited. We had a chance to check out his press conference. He got the crowd fired up. He has a list of things he wants to hit the ground running with. And it's going to be a very interesting season. They're running under the acronym All In. So the acronym All In stands for attitude, little things, love, intelligence, and now. So he was really hammering in on that last point because a lot of people, when you think of bringing in alumni, that you kind of get, you know, the same guy who was here before. You obviously was a quarterback here when the Rattlers beat Youngstown State, and that was a huge deal for the university. He was here as a position coach, and now he wants people to understand that through his growth and development as a coach, he is no longer that same player, same coach. He is tenured, he's experienced, and he wants what's best for this school. So moving forward, he's going to need a lot of support from both the fan base and alumni, and that comes with a lot of funding. And one of the funniest things, I think, was that he kept receipts. He did not like the fans, you know, booing the team. He spent about 2 minutes on that in the press conference. I had a chance to talk to him a little bit about it. And, you know, FAMU really runs deep in his blood. He's very passionate about this program, and he wants to see it restored to its rightful place on top of HBCU football.
You know, when talking about this hire, I remember I was doing a show segment last semester, and I mentioned the name Quinn Gray. Not because I wanted him to be the head coach, but because I knew he was a viable option. You know, the head coaching pool, especially for FAMU, isn't as deep as, you know, let's just take it to the NFL. Let's say the Atlanta Falcons, their head coaching pool is, you know, vastly much bigger than FAMU's. So,
hydrogen bomb versus an
egg. Yeah.
What are we talking about?
You get the analogy, though. Like, it's a deeper head coaching pool, you know, for something like that. Or even, like, okay, let's keep it in college football, LSU. Deeper, very deep head coaching pool. So, with the Quinn Gray hire, you know, I'm looking at his resume so far in his head coaching career. He's only coached for 6 years, you know, 3 years in high school, 3 years in Division II football. And I'm not going to say I'm not impressed, but if it does start off shaky for him in his coaching tenure at FAMU, I would not be surprised at all because of, I don't want to say inexperience.
You think it's going to be a learning curve?
For sure.
FCS football?
For sure.
But what I really like is, you know, since he's an alum, since he played here, since he has lots of ties here, since he's coached,
he'll get a long leash.
Well, not that he'll get a long leash, but that he'll be here a while. He'll have some continuity. And as long as he continues to improve, he won't have to be like, we won't send him on his way. We'll want to keep him here. Because coaching continuity goes a long way. Yeah, if we have the same program for 4, 5, 6, 7 years and we have a culture here and we can bring people here based on that, like that is you know, a good, that's good for a football team to be, to have continuity. So like, I think since he is an alum, since, you know, he has like heavy ties to the program, that like as long as he produces and continues to get better, even if it starts off shaky, that we'll head somewhere where like the results will speak for themselves, I think.
Yeah, I think this was definitely the right hire. I feel like Quinn Gray, especially with the game that we played against Albany State, it was kind of like his audition for FAMU football. Because I mean, I'm pretty sure he's probably saw the writing on the wall, and mm-hmm. and with how the coaching cycle was in the past couple of years, he's been ready for this job. So he's been preparing for this job the entire time. I'm pretty sure he already knew he wasn't going to stay at Albany State his entire time. So it speaks to that, you know, he's been preparing for this moment. So I think he's already got everything ready. He's set the foundation ready, and you know, he can already hit the ground running with this program.
Keep in mind, he never left Tallahassee. He during this entire time, he lived in Tallahassee.
Homegrown guy.
Until he got the Albany job.
No. While he was coaching at Albany State, it's not his family and everything, he's
not
lived.
That far away.
It's like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
During the press conference, he was like, I don't have to drive an hour and a half to get my hair cut in Tallahassee. Crazy. I don't have to drive an hour and a half to go visit my preacher. They're all here in Tallahassee. Tallahassee is home to him, and I think that'll be a reflection in the football program.
Right. We had a guy here, you know, not too long ago.
Oh.
Not saying he was an alumni, but he did coach high school football here in Willie Simmons. You know, he built up a great program in, 5-6 years, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. Tallahassee is home, but if he does start to win, a payday is coming, and FAMU's not going to be able to afford him.
I mean, that's how things go in FCS football. If you're great in FCS football, you're not going to be here long. But I think, you know, he doesn't have, you know, years and years and years of a track record for him to just be here for a second and gone. Next year. So I think
he signed to a 5-year contract.
I think he'll coach for the whole 5 years.
Yeah, I could definitely see him winning a title at FAM and returning and not obviously seeking a higher job.
I think what you're saying is that if he had built enough tenure that, you know, with success here, immediate success at that, there's a possibility he could go up to, you know, the next best thing.
But let's say
FBS
but
level.
Even Willie Simmons was already at Prairie View before.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And he's already had a track record.
Yeah.
So let's say hypothetically though, he wins 2 back-to-back, you know, celebration bowls in his first 2 years.
Yes.
Is he out?
Possibly.
Just a hypothetical.
He hasn't coached it down here
but
yet.
In that case, he could go make history at FAMU. He could go for a three-peat. In that case, so, you know, it's one of those things. It's one of those things. How much do you value what your legacy is going to be at FAMU? Because we just spent the past 5 minutes talking about his ties to Tallahassee, how much he loves Tallahassee and the area. So it's one of those things. Either does he want to go and do what's best for him and his family and make the most money or have the biggest opportunity elsewhere in a higher division, or is he trying to just become the biggest Tallahassee legend possible?
I absolutely think that we will get many, many good years out of Quinn Gray, but it is not football season anymore in Tallahassee. It is basketball season, and our boys went out there and got us a win. Listen.
They're sticking it up both ways.
Yeah. Listen. We're talking about FAMU right now, and we just got a win over the weekend. We just beat Southern 67-59, guys. How do we feel like we performed?
If you make another 6-7 joke while sitting next to me, I swear.
Guys, we're 14 in the booth, I guess.
You know what's crazy? I'm looking at this right now. And granted, that Southern one was a very good win. We're sitting at 4-9 right now, 1-1 in the conference.
Yep.
But all that goes out the window tonight. You got tickets right now for an HBCU basketball game. $252.
Yeah, it's gonna be a packed house.
$200. We have never seen Al Lawson packed out.
$200.
And guess who won't be there?
And Saturday, that's the problem. And Saturday was the most I've ever seen FAMU packed. And I think tonight, against Grambling, against our old head coach of the program, who took us to heights that we have never seen before since joining the SWAC in 2021. If Coach Ward can get it done tonight, we're going to have some very uncomfortable conversations.
Who's sideline sport director?
It'll actually be me and Mike. We'll be courtside for this game.
Okay. This may be
old heads.
And I love FAMU basketball. But like, this may be electric. I've never said that about FAMU basketball. And the crazy part is, I think this will be a thriller. I think it goes down to the final 5 minutes of the game, and it's going to be decided then and there.
This may be electric, needs to be a quote from Michael Trim Jr.
Lying, though?
No, but I can see this could be electric on a wall somewhere. How do we feel about our ladies? Our ladies also got a dub over Southern.
Listen, surprising win, if you ask me.
shout out Elijah Lott, man, because he is one of the hardest and harshest people when it comes to FAMU women's basketball.
And Coach Gordon.
and he really is, fair enough. He actually really does watch the games. He analyzes the stats, so he can't say he's a casual.
Bro, I was with him at a game. It was intense.
It was, they're turning it around, and what you're starting to see is, for one, Coach is getting some players back that she didn't have at the beginning of the season.
Absolutely.
Obviously, having your center is one of the biggest, you know, contributions to what they want to do on defense, and that's being able to, you know, free form and, you know, rebound.
Offense as well.
Yeah. When you have a please remind me of her name, but the point guard,
Tanaja Perfor.
Can't nobody stop her. She's a dog. That
she's
pressure cooker is starting to come alive. You're starting to see the players buy into the process, not only the process, but what this program is trying to be. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see FAMU have more of these games down the stretch. One of the biggest things that they couldn't figure out how to do last year was close games, especially when it came to free throws. This year they went 18 from 22 at the end of the game against Southern, and which the free throws end up sealing the game. Mm-hmm. So little things like that is what's going to end up building your program. And I'm proud of Coach Gordon for getting this one done, but, you know, we're just getting started.
And I actually interviewed Purifoy and Coach Gordon last semester, and the getting people back from injuries was a big focal point she had when I talked to her last season. And she also talked about defense. Improved defense is what we would like to see, and getting it done here, because what their big issue was she said it herself. She was like, the third quarter, it just all falls apart. I don't know what happens in the third quarter. The third quarter, we play no defense. The third quarter, we can't get the ball in the hoop. And Purifoy has been a dog. The defense has improved. I hope we continue going up, you know, improving. Injuries are lessons, and that's what I would love for this program, because this is a very talented group if you watch the games.
For sure, and Southern's one of the best teams in the SWAC, especially on the women's side, and just seeing us be able to compete with them, it's special, and the team's definitely headed in the right direction. We were 1 point away from being on a 4-game winning streak, you know, heading into the next game that we have following the Southern game. So I think we keep the momentum rolling. The team's going to be in a great spot.
We are going to transition now into the wider scope of college athletics. We're going to head into NCAA football. The playoffs have been going on. The semifinals just concluded, and it was two very different games. Two very, very different games. We're going to start off with Miami versus Ole Miss. What did we
do? Woo! How about them K's, baby?
There's no way.
No. Keep it on. I got a sound for you. Hold on. Wait. Go ahead, JB. You can talk.
You're doing all this extra. Miami are frauds, bro. All this is cap.
Move your hand.
None of this is real.
Why are we saying it's a belt, though?
It wasn't a belt at all.
Like, that's what I'm saying. We have to get out of this notion that it's a belt.
It was.
First of all, your offense is putrid. Carson Beck.
Putrid is insane.
Carson Beck. Bro. It's going to be the reason that y'all losing national championships.
No, we knew this going into it. Carson Beck was the weakest quarterback out of all the group's quarterbacks. We knew this going into that.
Right.
So Texas Tech quarterback, real buns.
No, he's Marcel not. Marcel Reed going into the playoffs, people expected a way better.
No, he said Tech. No, that's Morton, right?
He didn't play.
He's not worse than Beck.
He played awful.
He's not worse than Beck.
He played
way worse than Beck.
He played way worse than Beck.
He played worse, but he's not a worse quarterback than Beck.
What I'm saying is, we knew that he was going to be the weakest out of the bunch. Mm. However,
that front four.
We needed to understand, and Carson Beck needed to understand, we don't need him to play Superman. We don't need him to throw a 70-yard bomb.
Bro,
we
those
don't
curls
need
dangerous.
Yeah. Man, throw curls the curl. Dangerous. Throw the hitch. You have playmakers for a reason.
Those things dangerous.
When you stick to a playbook, where that's laid out, where you get your playmakers out in space, where you have a Malachi Toney.
That 12-yard dig on 3rd-and-10, nasty, boy. Yeah,
you don't exactly need to be Superman. Play your role, and as a team, we will win. At front four, vicious.
When I watched the first series of the game against Ole Miss, and I saw the way Miami was playing, and first of all, 3-and-out was nasty after calling for the ball. Boy, Ole Miss made me so mad.
No, no cap,
winning
no
the
cap,
toss
no
and then saying, "Hey, we want the ball," and then going three out. Hey, bro, you should have handed them the game ball right there. You should have forfeited right there. Three and out after saying everybody the first. Everybody in their mama the first. And they was that we want the ball. We're going to go down and score. You go three and out. And then Miami goes down like an 8-minute drive, running the ball most of the time. They threw like the ball like three times.
Yeah, I just knew.
Should just gave him the game. Didn't even finish the first quarter. We all knew what was going to happen.
I knew from the jump that Miami just had more grown men on their team at the end of the day. But we've seen Ole Miss has been resilient the entire playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to give them credit, but I'm going to give them credit for sticking in there and literally being in there until the very last second. It's just I don't know what happened with their defense on the final drive. It's like they just. I don't know what the issue is with everybody playing prevent. Stop doing prevent.
Please,
you're preventing yourself from winning the game.
because the Bears showed us. We'll get into it later. But the Bears showed us. Hey man, if you blitz,
literally.
When they're trying to go on a 2-minute drive,
literally.
They got to get the ball out.
And
they can't use the clock.
With Ole Miss on that play where Carson Beck ran in for the touchdown, I did not see Suntarian Perkins on the field.
Yeah,
he's your best.
Ooh,
he's your best.
I'm glad you brought up that play.
And I did not see him on the field.
I really
hey, 51. I watched your scholarship, bro. 51 who fell
not
on that
too,
on that Carson
much,
Beck.
Much on 51,
yes, 51 yes, who fell. Yes. I want your scholarship, bro. Turn it in. Not you too, go play. You need to come play for FAMU because you don't deserve to be up there in the FBS level.
Not
oh my God,
man.
Falling what? And just looking around on the ground. How nothing heated. He. I was watching that just confused. One thing I hate about a D lineman: if a D lineman falls, you've automatically lost all pressure. It doesn't make no sense to fall. You don't gotta. He didn't get pancakes. It's not like he got pancakes. Getting pancaked is one thing. You lost the rep. But falling, he fell for no, and then laid down on the ground and looked around. Carson Beck walked in with nobody around him. I can't stand that.
I'm impressed by Cristobal this college football playoff.
Just because he hasn't messed up yet?
Not just because he hasn't messed up yet, but it's the type of intensity he has with his team. I mean, his offensive linemen, they're playing like true offensive linemen. They want to grill and play, you feel what I'm saying, ground and pound football.
Yep.
We haven't seen this type of intensity from Miami since Ray Lewis and Michael Irvin and them, since the Jimmy Johnson days, being completely honest with you. I mean, you have seen, like, last year, Cam Ward making crazy plays and things of that nature, but they haven't had a true run game, you feel what I'm saying, in a while. So seeing that they have that now is impressive.
What I can say about Miami is that we are across the board complete on all three phases of the ball. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Every team I feel like this year has a specific position group or somebody that is going over and beyond for their team to win. When you neutralize that or you take that portion out of the game, you are left with a dysfunctional team that can't come together in the fourth quarter. A lot of these teams have had stuff fall apart in the fourth quarter if we're not blowing them out already. Ohio State had some key turnovers that led up to the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. We really should have blew Ole Miss out if we didn't drop five interceptions.
What about Indiana? Yeah,
I'm glad you brought that up.
Because they have no holes.
Does anybody else have? Yeah, that's.
Okay, right. I
got Indiana by a lot.
We're going to get to that.
We are going to get to that.
Oh, I was going to say that I feel like Miami, I'm not going to say they're just a complete team. I feel like they did pass the ball decent last game, but throughout the playoffs, they haven't been just dominated passing the ball. I really feel like their ground and pound really builds them out of a lot of games. But it's just they have the most important pieces to win. I feel like you start at the front seven. I mean, Ruben Bain, Mezidor, they're playing out their minds right now. That offensive line is playing out their mind right now. And it's just so easy for Carson Beck just to sit down and make the right throw.
Yeah.
You saw last year at Georgia, they tried to make Carson Beck into another Gunnar Stockton. You feel? I mean, not Gunnar Stockton, but Gunnar Stockton, Stetson Bennett. That's not his game. He wants to sit back and make those type of passes. Don't make your quarterback fight for 11 yards when he doesn't have to.
Yeah, I will say everybody on that Miami defense has made some money this playoff run.
Like, absolutely.
Everybody has gone up, you know, but I'm very impressed by Miami. When I think we were down by a touchdown or whatever it was, I was definitely expecting. I was like, okay, government mandated Carson Beck pick incoming. Like, we're going to be straight. But y'all have been able to keep your composure. I'm very impressed. I did not have y'all going this far, not even just as an Ohio State fan, but just like, I just didn't believe in Carson Beck, but y'all have been able to make a game plan that you don't even need him to, not you don't need him to win, but like as long as he doesn't make a mistake, y'all got it.
And I think that was the biggest difference between Miami and Georgia last year, because like we said, I know we get on Carson Beck, but if Carson Beck is your weakest link, you know, Carson Beck is still a decent quarterback. So for him to be your, to an extent, for him to be your weakest link, that just shows that you have a pretty good team at your hands.
Moving on, we have Indiana, Oregon. And I have different thoughts than I think most people on this game, but I want to hear y'all's first.
Indiana. Indiana's crazy, bro. Just like I just said, they have no holes. From literally the top of the organization to their general manager who hires everybody to the scouts, head coaching staff, they have no holes. And that's why when we get to the national championship prediction, it's gonna get, you know, reckless a little bit. But I don't know. I feel like the game against Oregon, though. Oregon, I feel like Oregon was the second best team in this entire playoffs, in my opinion.
Oh, my God. Really?
I did.
That's definitely a take.
I thought the winner of Indiana and Oregon was going to win the title. In my bracket, I had Oregon beating Indiana because I obviously tough to beat a team twice. But they did prove they can beat them twice. So after that, I'm like, yeah, it's somebody else can go. But, yeah, we can get to the national championship.
All right, Scott.
You know, I can't say that I expected it to be a beatdown like it was. I did expect Indiana to come out there and play hard. Obviously, Cignetti has the boys coached up to a T. We keep saying it, but there's no one thing that you can point at where it's like, man, you know, Indiana, if Miami can exploit this, if such and such, that is a very complete football team from top to bottom. And it starts at the head coaching position. One of the things that, you know, is unique to Indiana is their ability to assess talent from, doesn't matter where you're coming from, because remember, a majority of their starters are from the original 15 people who transferred from JMU.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's a testament that it doesn't matter where you're coming from. If you can play fundamentally sound football, you are going to be dangerous. And I think that it separates them from the rest of the pack. Because they don't have an eye-popping amount of talent. I mean, Fernando Mendoza, you can't say was on your Heisman watch list this year.
No.
If you are, more power to you.
However, we saw some of those ACC After Dark games, and Mendoza was Mendoza was cooking.
That's facts.
But during the offseason, when I saw him going to Indiana in the transfer portal, I'm like, that's who y'all getting to build up on, like, after Indiana had all the success the previous season? Y'all getting Mendoza?
So what I will say is there are no one thing that you can point at. I just have to rock with my Canes. Off personal base.
Well, we're not there yet. We're not there yet.
We're not yet there. Yes, no. On Oregon side, Dan Lanning, you know, back to the drawing board. It seems every year there's something, you know, that's holding Oregon back. And I can't really point out where it was now. I think Indiana just jumped on him and just didn't let off the gas.
Yeah.
That's not something you can really bounce back from. Your first play from scrimmage is a pick six. That's hard to shake off in all assets of the game. And then it's not to say that the game was over from then, because they scored the very next drive.
That's exactly what I wanted to bring up. Throwing a pick six on the first play of the game is nice. Throwing an out route was it definitely a thing you can do by Dante Moore, you know, not even reading it, just dropping back, saying, oh, this is my first read. We're going to throw it. We're going to throw it a little behind him, too. But, okay. And then he did exactly what you're supposed to do. He came back out there. He said, I'm going to start fresh as a new drive. He went down there, and he executed the game plan to perfection. He went and tied the game up. We're back 0-0. But one thing, even though it was a very entertaining game to an extent, and lots of weird stuff happened, lots of good defensive plays, and lots of stuff you don't see a lot. Fernando Mendoza got the ball punched out up into the air, caught it himself. He still got sacked, but it was a crazy play. Momentum really killed us from having a good game. Because what magic made Dante Moore go back to throw the ball that bounced off your running back's on your back, on your load up? He's loading up to throw the ball, and it bounces off your running back's helmet. Like,
It's because that wasn't their starting running back. If anything, that was their third string running back who probably didn't get a lot of reps with the first team.
Correct.
And those little timing things, little things, like I said with Cignetti, they play fundamentally sound football. Those little things are what lead to catastrophe.
Absolutely. Steps to your right, then fill the gap, you know, for pass block. I get it. But, like, even if you don't have any chemistry with your quarterback, even if you never take first team reps, you're playing with the backup, you know how the backup moves, not Dante Moore. That is just ridiculous to happen. And it took us it took away a great game because I don't think this is a 56-22 talent disparity, bro. I think this is Indiana is still better than Oregon. I still think, but not by this much, bro. We missed out on a good game because of momentum and weird things. Because even the backup running back was playing well. He was running the ball pretty well to start the game. Yeah, it's just weird momentum swings.
I can get behind you on that, but it's also like, and I said this on the live show too. There was not a moment in the game where I felt like if they got to a third down that Indiana was in trouble. Every single third down, every single play where it's like, okay, they got to get this. I did not feel any sort of doubt that they were going to get it. And even then, on that play to Charlie Becker, he threw it, 40 yards in the air, and he just caught it. They just make plays like that. That's not even a momentum type of thing. They just make those type of plays.
Bro, if you told me, like, watching the game, you told me Fernando Mendoza only has 177 yards passing, I would not have believed you.
Which, again,
like, he was dicing him, bro.
I
always feel like when we talk about fundamentally sound football teams, there's no one player that stands out, which is why you don't see crazy stats from a Carson Beck. You don't see a crazy stats from Fernando Mendoza. You want to talk about fundamentally sound football teams? Look at University of Michigan when they won their national championship. And what were the conversations we were having about J.J. McCarthy? Was that he was a
system
quarterback. He didn't do too much. First guy in, last guy out, lunch pail kind of guy.
Well, this is different, bro. I feel like from 30 yards and in, Fernando Mendoza is surgical, bro. He had 5 passing TDs and they were all beautiful. Like,
But I feel like this
he's
even,
throwing some crazy
balls.
This is
even different from Michigan, because at least with Michigan, we were, you know, we could pinpoint, okay, a lot of these guys are going first round.
Yeah, like Indiana, you hand a ball off of Blake Corman anytime, and it could be a touchdown.
Colston Loveland and that whole defense, Will Johnson, everybody. But Indiana is like, yes, they have great talent, but
yeah.
How many first?
Mendoza, get ready to learn the Raiders. Mendoza,
your career is over, buddy. You got the Heisman and nothing else. You're going to break your arm on the Raiders.
Bro,
we know the Raiders. Are they going to block for Fernando Mendoza?
He got Ashton Jenty. He can just hand it off. And
Ashton Jenty got one more year.
Take some plays off.
Man, all you're going to hear, when Mendoza drop back is them saxophones.
Bro, there's going to be something catastrophic happening in that backfield, man. They cannot block nothing over there in Las Vegas. I feel bad for you, Fernando.
And Indiana's only getting better, too, bro. Like, I got to pull up who they got in the transfer portal, but I feel like every time I open Twitter, they got somebody else.
Yeah, Josh Hoover from – his name is Josh, right?
Josh Hoover from TCU.
Yeah, Josh Hoover from TCU. Nick Marsh.
We'll get to the transfer portal.
I was going to say this about Indiana. Like Q and J Scott said, how they play with little things, and I really feel like they've just mastered playing in the moment. Like Fernando Mendoza especially – They're going to get 4 yards the first and second down, but that third down, when it's time to get that 3rd and 6, that 3rd and 5, he's just mastered getting that ball across that first down, and that's all that matters. Then they go into the next series, and then it just drains the defense, and it's just a domino effect. That's why they come out with these type of scores, like that 56-22 to 38-3 versus Alabama. But you feel me? But yeah.
You kind of trailed off there, would you?
That was just the mic.
Oh, right.
No, Alabama sucks.
You're an FSU fan.
Listen, I'll cut your mic. Here we go. We have to make it official. What is your national championship pick? Miami versus Indiana. Let's make it official. Some people we kind of already know, but Mike, who you picking?
I'm going Indiana. I'm going to go Indiana about 38. Miami, 13.
38-13. Okay. Scott,
I'll say this much. There's not a lot of holes in Indiana, but if Miami can continue to answer with Indiana, it could be anybody's game. I feel like playmaker-wise, across the board, they match up. Quarterback-wise, I'll give it to Mendoza. If it's going to be the team that makes the least amount of mistakes, I feel like. And it being at the crib, at Miami, I'm going to go out the Canes, man. I'm going to go Miami 38, Indiana 35.
Q.
I think with these type of matchups, you know, again, they're very similarly built teams. They're going to get you with the ground game, their defense and everything. They're both very talented teams. But when it comes down to these type of games and you need somebody to make a play, it's going to circle all the way. It's always going to circle back to the quarterback. And I wholeheartedly trust Fernando Mendoza more than Carson Beck to make a play. Through the air, through the ground, through whatever, underwater, I'm going Indiana. Trophy's coming to Bloomington.
Score?
34-27.
You marking this down?
I know. I got it. I was going to write it down. I'll be like, I'm pretty sure I know what everyone's going to say.
I'll write it down. I think this game is going to start slow. I think both defenses will be on their A game to start off. Momentum might go a little bit crazy, but ultimately, I think Indiana pulls it off. I don't think they're scoring 56 or 50. I think it's going to be like 28-13.
Bryson?
I really like Miami, being completely honest with you.
There we go.
I like Indiana more. I do like Indiana, but it's just I feel like Indiana hasn't played a team like Miami in this playoff. Everybody had a problem with the run game. Everybody had a problem in their offense, and it was just easy to exploit. I feel like Miami has the same type of potential to win this national championship that Indiana has, and I feel like dog poison will get the best of Indiana. So I feel like Miami 24-19. I think it's going to be an ugly game.
I think it's going to be a little bit of a slugfest to start it off in the first quarter. And then I think Indiana is going to put their foot down.
Blow the roof off.
Indiana 42.
We'll see. Regardless of how it goes.
Miami 21.
I know Hard Rock Stadium is going to be rocking. Yeah, but Indiana, for a little while. Indiana fans travel very well. Yeah. Miami's at the crib. I think it's going to be a great national championship. And honestly, dare I say the committee got it right.
Oh, so now it's the committee got it right because the Canes are in the championship.
No.
All it was complaining about the seating and who's in and why is this person in and we almost didn't get put in Notre Dame.
Why is that an unpopular opinion?
What do you mean?
That the committee got it right this year.
No, I'm saying you were so against everything that was.
No, that's not been the case.
Well, I sat there and argued with you for 30 minutes.
They were trying to put Notre Dame over Miami for the longest. They waited until actual selection Sunday to put the correct team in. So I think that's where our gripes are coming in.
But I don't like James Madison in there. I feel like it should be just one group of five.
ACC, do better.
I'm about to say,
yeah, let's not. You can't have Duke
winning your conference.
Yeah. 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 That's why I feel like a 12-team playoff is also enough.
Yeah, no, expansion.
Go to 16, just make it a bracket. Everybody else, every other sport in the entire country.
16 is too
football,
many.
Basketball, lacrosse, hockey, they all do a bracket. Even FCS football does a bracket. Just
16
just
is too many.
Just get us a bracket.
I mean, we could, but.
And if we're not going to do a bracket, then just go back to the two teams in BCS and college.
No. Definitely don't do that.
I'm fine with 12.
12 is good. Last thing with college football, who are the transfer portal winners? Either a player or a program, who is the person in the transfer portal that you're like, they got this right, they're going to do great with this player, this player's going to do great at this school? Who's y'all favorite transfer portal people as of right now?
I'm going to go Nick Marsh, transferring from Michigan State to Indiana.
Yep.
I think he's, you know, probably one of my early favorites for, you know, the Blitkoff War. Just to throw that out there, obviously, with Jeremiah. But, yeah, I'm going to say Indiana and Nick Marsh, I think, in its totality. They just reloaded, especially getting Hoover as well from TCU.
Yeah, and Indiana always does good in the transfer portal. Scott, who do you think? What's a good? What's one of yours?
I personally think Cam Coleman going to Texas is pretty electric.
Yeah, that was my
pick. I think that's a really good 1-2 punch you have there at receiver. It obviously gives them a chance to kind of air some things out under Sarkisian's offense.
I think that might be nasty.
Yeah, that feels a really big goal.
And the way Arch been looking at the end of the season, Texas is going to be scary.
Yeah, they're going to be favorites again. I'm not going to lie. Even though they lost a lot of running backs.
I think
Wiseman committed to FSU, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, but they just got Hollywood Smothers and Malik Brown, and those were the two best.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, running backs in the portal. So that's nasty. And they got Cam Cole. That was a great sign.
Honestly,
they might be nasty, bro.
I might say Ole Miss. You're going to have some guys leaving for LSU, but to be able to not only keep Kawan Lacy, but also to be able to bring in Deuce Knight, former five-star quarterback.
I like that. I'm not gonna lie. I like it.
What are y'all seeing out of him though?
Deuce Knight
in this one game. I'm not gonna say
I've seen anything. I just like whenever somebody who's a former four or five star prospect gets their opportunity. Like when he committed, like we know he's gonna be the guy next season. So I just like that he's gonna get his opportunity. and really showcase why he was a five-star prospect.
Yeah, and I think Ole Miss set the foundation this year, and I think Pete Golden he's gonna have some guys that can buy in now, and I just think Deuce Knight is ready to take over for the program. He's ready to be that next quarterback.
Yeah,
and we all know he's talented.
There's one name I haven't heard yet that I'm
that
waiting
boy,
on.
Sam Levitt.
There it is.
Yep.
Oh, it just broke.
Yeah, that did just break today.
I was waiting for
LSU.
I was about to troll you and say Dylan. Who's throwing the ball.
Sorry. But yeah, you're right. Bro, the late night trip to Knoxville to just convince him to come to LSU is very like
Lane Kiffin-ish.
Shout out Lane.
Yeah. Bryson, who's your transfer portal winner?
I like Relik Brown at Texas. I feel like that's an explosive offense for him, and I feel like he's just one of the most explosive players in the country. So I'm going to give that the win, in my opinion. But a team that's been dominating, South Carolina has had some amazing transfer portal recruits, but either Texas Tech or Indiana has it, though. Most definitely.
Yeah, Texas. What
Texas
quarterback
Tech
did Texas
Tech? Texas Tech get Brent. Got Brandon Source.
No love for Ashton Daniels.
Yeah,
I like that.
You said
no love for Ashton Daniels.
FSU. That's pretty good. I mean, that's
no.
Decent.
I'm trolling. FSU.
Shout out Texas Tech getting a competent quarterback. I know Buddy had a good regular season, but that game made me real mad. Moving over to the NFL. Wild card weekend is almost over. Texans and Steelers play tonight, but we had a bunch of games over the weekend, and somebody went 5 for 5.
Yes,
I
sir.
Went 5 for 5. Too.
Yes, sir. Went 5 for 5.
Your
yeah.
producer happens to know ball, and a couple of these playmakers happen to know ball. Scott's not one of them, but you
Whoa.
Know.
5 for 5.
What are we talking about? I missed one game.
Now I'm saying,
man.
Like,
listen.
Folks missed one
and
game.
And even then, had this man sweating.
Oh yeah, I was cool. Surely was sweating.
I wasn't for you. I was like, oh, Q's fine. I don't care. Like the Jags never had it.
Nah.
The Jags never had it.
No,
Jags never had it.
Bill scored way too early. I've seen that script way too many times.
But you needed Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars to be clutch.
Yesterday was the first time.
Yeah. He's a big clutch though.
Yesterday was the first time the Bills scored a touchdown in Jacksonville since 2013.
But when's
that's
last time
y'all
crazy?
When y'all played
that's
the Jags?
I don't like playing Jacksonville. I don't play them.
Don't I'm about to really say when's the last time y'all played them?
Like well, we played it. We played them in London, I think.
That don't count.
We played them in London. Then we played.
Played them in the playoffs in 2017.
We played Urban Meyer and lost 9-3.
Ooh,
and before that, we played him in
y'all lost to Urban Meyer.
And before that,
that was the Josh Allen Bowl. That was the Josh Allen Bowl, wasn't it? Yeah, the strip sack of Josh Allen by Josh Allen.
Before that was the playoff game when Jalen Ramsey got the
dog
interception and Jacksonville went to the AFC Championship. So
we finally
got rid of those demons in Jacksonville.
Bro, that was a great game. All these games have been great.
It was.
Yeah,
except for
that Chargers Patriots.
That game wasn't.
I had to turn it on.
I got a light skin belt look like Michael Jackson.
Bro, the Chargers are so bad, bro.
Trying to have a conversation. About
is it hard?
It's not about Justin Herbert.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Justin Herbert got pressured on every single time he played.
Real QB pressures and 6 sacks.
Literally, bro. Like, come on.
You can't live in that with
nah,
a
bro.
But you got to get it done eventually. What is this? It's like fourth playoff loss? Or
this is third playoff loss. You know, they call him If Man, you know. let's just run through it real quick.
No.
Greg Roman as your offensive coordinator.
We're not doing
that. We all know about Greg Roman.
In 2020, his rookie year, he went 6-9. In 2021, he went 9-8. And in a game against the Las Vegas Raiders to make the playoffs, he missed. He lost to the Raiders to make it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
In 2022, he went 10-7. That's the infamous Jaguars game in the playoffs.
Man.
Blew a 27-7 lead.
That was
the worst
are you
loss
telling me
I've
he couldn't?
Seen.
Are you telling me he couldn't move the ball, score more points?
Hey, bro, your defense did live.
In 2023, he went 5-8, missed the playoffs. I believe he got was a little banged up that year.
I was gonna say, I think he was hurt.
2024, this is the first year under Harbaugh. 11-6. He threw 4 picks in the wild card loss.
Who'd they play?
Doesn't matter. They lost.
They played the Texans.
And in 2025,
hey man, we see how
11-5. He scored 3 points.
We see what the Texans.
He got
this
pressure.
This is on Herbert.
Time he dropped.
That's not on Herbert, bro.
This is on Herbert.
He spent the whole game looking up
if
at the lights.
If you're the guy, they said, all right, he didn't have a coach, so we got Harbaugh. And he's still 0-2. Since what Harbaugh?
Brandon Staley
is offensive
terrible,
line is broken.
I said we're Harbaugh.
He's good.
His offensive line has been injured this whole year. The fact that they made it to the playoffs after losing both of those tackles is crazy, bro.
He didn't have his whole O-line.
Yeah, what you mean? The Bengals, bro. It's not hard to make the playoffs when you're healthy and the Bengals are banged up. They don't have the quarterback. The Chiefs were...
Come on, Kyle.
The Chiefs this year. The Ravens didn't have their quarterback majority of the year.
Thank you.
So, like, it's not hard to make the playoffs in the AFC this year when, you know, most of the team, all the good teams didn't have their guys.
Bro, he couldn't throw the ball. He didn't complete a pass. He barely completed any pass to receive. Lyle McConkey had, like, two catches.
And, you know, they talked about on the, what was it, NBC? Fox?
NBC.
On the NBC broadcast, they talked about the experience that the Chargers had that the Patriots didn't have.
Right.
And yet, it looked like the Patriots were the more experienced team.
No,
Patriots
didn't.
Drake May looked like he was the more experienced quarterback. Like he was in year five.
He had two turnovers.
Still, he still looked more experienced.
Derek Herbert didn't have any turnovers. He was just on his back the whole time.
He just had 3 points. Drake May put in more points.
Hey, man, they kept, like, listen, you can't protect
Drake May's 1-0 in the playoffs. Herbert's 0-3.
Take away Drake May's O-line. Put him out there with a bad O-line. What's he going to do?
Take away Herbert's coach.
What's the difference? He has a good, Mike Vrabel's a good coach.
Mike Vrabel's a great coach.
Good call.
Right. Yeah. But if we're taking something away, I mean, nobody's
playing without it. Anyways, Herbert. I want to talk about one more game this episode, and it's a very important game.
It's Chicago.
I wasn't going to talk about that game.
Hey, no.
The Eagles need to blow it up.
Game.
Why did they blow it up?
They need to blow it up.
It's crazy.
They need to blow it up. They need to blow up the coaching staff or need to make a change because this is ridiculous. They cannot beat a 49ers team that's a hospital.
Trade A.J. Brown. I mean, I think that's the
only one.
I don't know about blowing.
No,
A.J. Brown the problem?
Brown is gone.
No, I'm not saying A.J. Brown's
Sirianni
the problem.
Is gone.
But the way they run their offense,
AJ.
They don't really need a number one wide receiver.
I want Sirianni gone, and I want Nick Petullo gone.
Why are you getting rid of a Super Bowl winning quarterback? I mean, head coach.
No, Petullo's got to go.
Petullo's got to go. No, I'm not saying the coordinator has to go. I'm saying the coach.
Why are you shoving your number one wide receiver on the sidelines?
That's what I'm saying. Nick Sirianni on
things,
top of that.
Nick Sirianni
that,
those things
sucks.
Don't happen.
Yeah, he's trying
Travis
to be like,
Andy Reid, Sirianni has a Super Bowl.
Bro.
Yes,
you would
he
love
got
for him to be your head coach. When is the last time the Browns won a Super Bowl?
I would hate for him to be my coach.
Nick Sirianni is not impressive.
I would have coached.
Wait.
You got
the Browns fan doesn't want Sirianni as.
Oh, I would hate Sirianni.
He's a Browns fan.
Your
head coach has been in the headlines for the last.
He lives in poverty.
He lives in poverty. He's okay with mediocrity.
I don't care about none of that. I don't care about none of that.
That's the problem.
I don't care about none of that. Y'all just talking because y'all really just talking. Sirianni is not a good.
You don't know
game.
What winning looks like.
He has the best GM in history.
You don't know what winning
in
looks
NFL
like.
NFL history.
You don't
I'm
know
saying,
what winning
bro.
Looks like.
No. Listen, I'm on the same page with Sirianni. I'm not his biggest fan. I'd much rather that than what happened with your starting quarterback and your head coach this season.
Quarterback situation on the Browns
you
was
think
ridiculous.
Sirianni would have handled that situation better
yes.
than Kevin Stefanski?
Yes.
Absolutely not. Sirianni would have went up to Shedeur Sanders and hit him on the sideline. Like, stop it, bro. Stefanski did his thing. He won 2 Coach of the Years. Sirianni will never win a Coach of the Year. Y'all talking all this.
So
he has the best
coach?
Roster. In
so
Stefanski is a better coach than Sirianni.
Oh, no,
he won
crazy.
2 Coach of the Years.
Coach of the Years. I agree with JB. I happen to agree with JB.
He went to the playoffs with Joe Flacco.
I happen to agree with JB.
Like, what are we talking about?
We're not going to disrespect Joe Flacco like he wasn't Super Bowl winning.
Yeah, facts.
He was 40.
He was 40.
But so why didn't they win a Super Bowl? Sirianni been to 2
don't
Super
have the
Bowls.
Because we don't have the best.
Sirianni been
in
2 Super Bowls.
The Eagles
and 1-1.
The Eagles roster is amazing. Like
the Eagles had a record breaking sack season the first time they went to the Super
they
Bowl.
They stole all of the Georgia Bulldogs, bro. Like what are we? Supposed
somebody
to
still got a coach and call plays. They can't just roll the ball out there.
Does Sirianni call plays? Does he call
the coach?
No, but does he call the
he's
plays?
The coach.
Does he call the plays?
He's the coach.
I think Nick Petullo was calling those plays.
He's the coach.
Amen. All I wanted to say, I wanted to give a mildly detailed analysis on the Eagles game is what I wanted to do. And then we started to argue a bunch. I just wanted to point out that the Saquon Barkley can't keep bailing everybody out is what we saw from the Eagles. He didn't.
Yeah.
What is it? Saquon Barkley. AJ Brown deep ball.
Yeah. So Nick Petullo, massive issue. Nick Sirianni didn't do a very good job, but I'm sure he's going to keep his job.
He can't keep his job.
He's going to. He's absolutely going
Why
to.
Why would he lose his job?
Because
he's
don't,
not a good coach.
He didn't. That's not a good coaching job, bro.
I've never heard somebody say,
A Super Bowl winning coach is not a good coach.
Yes, you have.
I've never heard it.
John Harbaugh.
Hey, hey.
John Harbaugh's a good coach.
John Harbaugh is a good coach.
What are we talking about?
But he deserved to be fired.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
Mike McCarthy.
It was his time to go.
No, it was not. Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy. Great example.
Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy's a pretty good coach.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't know how Mike Tomlin still has his job before John Harbaugh.
Tomlin is actually resurrecting him.
Tomlin has not had those rosters that the Ravens have had.
Yes.
Okay, fair.
A stellar defense, but offensive. Has holes in it every year.
Hey, listen, I'm always cheer for a black head coach. I just thought it was funny. Yeah, I just didn't think I would see that.
No, Tomlin gets fired tonight. Don't worry about it.
Oh.
No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
Why are we firing him? Because he lost it on playoff game? He wasn't even supposed to be here. What'd you say about Flacco? Aaron Rodgers is 40. He's not even supposed to be here.
Yeah, Tomlin is just climbing out of his grave every single year. It's kind of real. You feel what I'm saying?
If they would have lost that Ravens game, Tomlin would have been gone.
Should have lost that Ravens game.
We're just being honest.
Hey, can we note that black magic? I just want the black magic counter on the Ravens to go up one more time. That was ridiculous.
No, y'all.
What do you mean?
No, you had your chance. You had your chance.
You know, black magic? You know, that's Anthony Black nickname.
When you still had Mike McDaniel in the building, that's when you had your chance.
Black magic. Shout out Anthony Black.
Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh are the best coaching duo in the league.
Cut his mic.
That's not crazy. What are you talking about, bro?
Anyways.
I like Andy Reid's bags.
Guys, this is the part of the show where we make our picks for next week. This is going to decide who edits and who learns audition, JB. JB is very familiar with audition. So is
I haven't done it in like 3 months, by the way.
Hey, man.
You're about to do it this week.
Shout out Ohio State. I'm live with you forever, bro.
First, we're going to guess tonight's game. Trim, who do you have winning the Steelers versus the
I'm going to stick with my bracket. Texans. I'm going to go with the Texans.
All right. Scott?
Texans. I still have the Broncos.
Q. I'm
not still tipping on Fofos. Houston.
Yep, Texans.
Everybody Texans.
Everybody Texans?
Everybody
Texans.
No ball. Texans. Who you going with?
I got the Texans. Oh, okay. I've been at the Texans. Yeah.
Man. I don't know. The Steelers beat y'all, though. You're not impressed with what they did to y'all? They got active.
You don't need all three, bro.
Listen, man. The Steelers beat us by missed field goal. If you think that's a real win, if you think that's an impressive win, I don't know.
When the clock hit zero, they was up.
When the clock hit zero, we was missing a field goal.
A win is a win.
The Ravens beat the Ravens.
Are we predicting next week?
Yeah, we are predicting next week. I'm pulling up the bracket right now.
You got Bills Broncos.
Yep.
Bills Broncos. Who you got? Bills Q? Broncos.
Q, how you feeling, bro?
Mile high.
What you mean how I'm feeling? You know how I'm feeling.
Rapid fire, guys. Bills Broncos.
Broncos. Broncos country.
Okay, all right, bet.
Let's ride.
Broncos.
If y'all look how y'all did last week.
Broncos country.
Let's ride.
Let's ride.
Who you had? Who you had?
Who
you
got, James boss? Cook.
Broncos.
James
like,
Broncos.
Dude, who flexes James Cook?
Bills has been getting exposed all season.
Who flexes James Cook?
Season?
He's the rushing leader.
He has a rushing title.
JB, you got Broncos?
I got Broncos.
Bryson, you got Broncos?
Yep. Bills have been getting exposed all season. They got exposed by the Falcons.
In my bracket, I put the Bills, but they're so banged up now after this game. They're starting please. Crazy.
No, just stand on it. Just stand on it, bro.
I can, but
let's just stand on our bracket.
Just stand on it.
I don't think they're going to win anymore. They lost another receiver, and
we lost Gabe Davis. Like,
hey, bro, y'all don't
got
too much.
Okay, but that was your receiver.
That was your option. At the end of the day, we were going to have the playmakers at receiver. We had the playmakers at receiver this past week.
Not only does Josh Allen's ankle hurt, his knee hurt, his back hurt, his face hurt from getting sat on. Look, we can have
Saturday morning show at receiver. All right, what's the next? It's not going
to
make it.
All you have to do is play hard flats, and they're over with.
Next game. Niners Seahawks.
Not again.
Niners Seahawks.
Seahawk Nation.
Seahawk, Kyle Shanahan. 12th
man. What do you want to call it?
Seahawks by a lot.
49ers by 30, bro.
Whoa.
Dude, what? Dude.
Dang, I'm sorry. Wait, I think the Seahawks are going to win, but my bracket says 49ers, so I'm going to stay with them.
Fair enough. That's respectable.
But the Seahawks are, I think the Seahawks are. Yeah.
All right, so everybody Seahawks?
I don't know. I'm 50-50.
Well, you got a pick, so.
49ers.
Bang, bang, Niner game.
Let's do it.
None of them are editing. Okay. Rams, Bears.
Yeah, Rams, ooh. Bears.
Chicago.
It's going to be 0-3.
It's Chicago.
It's Chicago. I go Rams.
LA. Oh, I'm going Chicago.
Fun's over.
You go Chicago?
Yeah.
I'll be rooting for Chicago.
I'll be rooting for them, too.
Wait, what's that pick, then?
Hey, this is the most juice Chicago has since, shoot, 2011 Derrick Rose.
Scott, you said Bears?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Y'all got the Bears?
Y'all are going to say this.
I feel like the Bears are going to go
guys,
on like
I'm not
a,
edit.
A,
I love this.
A Commanders type of run.
Talking about Commanders?
I don't think they will.
It's only one person that can go on 63rd and O Block, and that's Ben Johnson. Give me Chicago.
So what you? So what you picking, JB?
JB, what are you picking?
Can he go on 64th?
Yeah, I got the Rams.
Yeah, that's all. You feel what I'm saying? That's O Block too.
JB, edit.
I got the Rams.
Hey, cuz. I'm just sticking with my bracket, bro.
And then Patriots versus Texans, probably, right?
Oh, yeah, we don't have the Patriots game yet.
So we're not picking?
We'll just text our picks.
Everybody pick the Texans.
Nah, y'all text me. We'll find out who's editing later on this week. But this is our favorite part of the show, where we shout out all the people who are supporting us. I want to shout out God first and foremost. I want to shout out my family. I want to shout out the guys in the booth. We are back and better than ever. I want to shout out Jeff. Shout out Jeff because he gave me this job, you know, new producer, having a great first episode. Scott tried to come in here and big dog me for some reason. I don't know why that happened.
I'm going
to
be in the chair next week. Don't worry about
what?
It.
You cannot keep host trying to host my show, bro.
My show?
Your show?
How many hosts do I get in a row?
My show. I think he's David Ruffin?
Yes. What do you mean? This became my show.
Can't even see you, Otis?
You know, first and foremost, you know, got to thank your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, without him, we wouldn't be able to do what we do every day, do what we love. Got to give a shout out to the Orlando Magic. That boy Anthony Black, Sixth Man of the Year campaign, just keep rolling.
Orlando Magic.
So y'all know the song, man. What other team y'all know got their own theme song? But shout out to J School, man. The countdown begins. You know, if y'all was here when G was here, shoot. How many days we got to graduation? Anybody know?
You're the only one.
My fault, y'all.
Yeah, you're old.
We're going to get that countdown coming for y'all soon. But yeah.
Man, it's so good to be back in the studio. I really miss seeing y'all's ugly faces. But, you know, we're going to talk some more ball coming up. College football obviously coming to an end. NFL coming to end in February. Then it's hoop season, but we're here for it all. Make sure you're tuned in to the live show at 12:30 to 2 p.m. and you're following us on social media at 905 Flavor Sports.
Shout out to my Lord and Savior. Shout out to my mother, father, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, and friends. Shout out to the entire state of Mississippi with the exception of Madison County. Shout out to Madison County. Yes, indeed. Shout out to Tre'Davious White and Sean McDermott. And shout out to Jeffrey Hood Jr. But by the way, last night, you want to talk about that result? Light the beam.
Oh, wow.
Shout out to God, man. Shout out to family, friends. Shout out to everybody that came out and supported me last week. Shout out to Sisters Incorporated, if I can do that. Yeah, bro. Shout out to the Playmakers. It's gonna be a good semester.
Shout out, guys. Shout out to my family. Bama get it together, but shout out to Bama. And shout out to the Falcons, man. But yeah.
Halftime with the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.